what's your name, sir? Okay, hello, I'm Ahmed, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as your lead for your hearing, sir, so just hold on.
Good afternoon, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, could you state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record? Okay, so you're appearing before the board, Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones, coming down the line with the Honorable David Hill. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left, you have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And so my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Westby. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, sir, you are also notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. So at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sir, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
So I also see that you have a DR number attached to your warrant, so I'm going to give you a third option. You can either state that it's true, false, or you can take the fifth, okay? The reason that you're getting the option to take the fifth is that there's a DR number attached, and anything you say in here can be used against you in a court of law, as these proceedings are tape recorded, and either the prosecutor or the defense attorney can subpoena a copy of this hearing, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the
other... So
departmental report, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of illegal substance on May 15, 2018 in Pima County, Arizona. So is that true or false, or would you like to take the fifth?
I would like to
take the Yes, sir. We have a copy of that. It is. So is that statement true, false, or would you like to take the fifth, sir? Okay, so is the statement true, false? Is that a false statement, sir, or? Okay. Okay, well, sir, you said you can have the option, sir. That's truly your right. So, Mr. Wesley, you want to give us information on allegation number one?
May 13th, 2018, approximately 21:38 hours, DPS Officer Engel was on patrol, Sergeant Miranda, number 4958, on board. Officer Engel was traveling westbound on Grant Road near the intersection of Forbes and the number one lane. Officer Engel noticed a red Cadillac sedan traveling approximately 15 miles an hour in the number two lane. The vehicle swerved to the right across the right fog line with both of its passenger side tires. Vehicle then drifted back to the left and drove on a dotted line with its driver's side tires in a number one lane and its passenger side tires in the number two lane. Vehicle continued traveling westbound in this position. Vehicle then made a left turn into the Quick Trip parking lot from this position and caused oncoming traffic to slow down to avoid colliding with the sedan. Officer Angel activated his overhead emergency lights and vehicle pulled up to a gas pump at the Quick Trip parking lot. Officer Angel approached the vehicle on the driver's side. Officer Angel contacted a driver who was later identified as offender Smith Billy, ADC number 088530. Officer Engel introduced himself and explained why he had stopped him. Officer Engel noticed the driver had bloodshot and watery eyes. He had a heavy slur in his speech and made several incomprehensible statements. Smith appeared to be sweating profusely and his clothing was heavily stained. Officer Engel asked Smith if the stain on his shirt was blood and he said it was chocolate. Officer Engel asked him for his driver's license, registration, and insurance. The driver stared at him and did not respond. The driver looked confused from the request. He gathered a stack of paper and handed it to the officer. Officer Engel asked the driver for his driver's license again, and he handed me a yellow Advent Crusade form. Officer Engel asked him where he was heading to, and he said to his mother's house right up the street. Officer Engel asked where that was, and he said, "You're in Phoenix." Identified the driver as Billy Smith by his Cabin Crusade temporary driver's license. Officer Engel asked Smith to exit the vehicle and he complied. Smith had extreme difficulty maintaining his balance and used his car for balance. Officer Engel escorted Smith back to his patrol vehicle. Smith was staggering and swaying as he walked to the patrol vehicle. At the patrol vehicle, Officer Engel ran a warrants check on Smith and saw that he currently had an Cabin Crusade implied consent suspension on his driving privilege. Officer Engel asked Smith how much alcohol he had, and he said none. He further stated that he had just been through this. He was asked if he had taken drugs, and he said no. Smith was swaying as he stood at the patrol vehicle. Officer Engel deactivated his overhead forward-facing emergency lights. Officer Engel asked Smith if he had any injuries or medical conditions, and he said no. Officer Engel faced Smith away from traffic. Officer Engel explained all tests to the best of his ability and did not proceed with any tests until Officer Engel was confident Smith understood what was expected of him. Horizontal gaze, nystagmus. Officer Engel saw six clues in nystagmus, including vertical nystagmus. Lack of convergence. Lack of convergence was present. Walk and turn. Officer Engel escorted Smith to the flat concrete area on the left side of the vehicle. Instructing him to use a straight line in the concrete. Smith was unable to maintain his balance while Officer Engel was instructing the test. He performed a toe test with his feet angled outward and not straight on the line. On his third step, he stepped completely off the line and had an approximate 6-inch gap between his heel and toe to his fourth step. He added a tenth step and turned on his right foot. He began to raise his arms approximately 12 inches from his side for balance. His ninth return step was approximately 2 inches off the line. One leg stand. Smith used his left leg to perform the test. Smith raised his foot approximately 1 inch from the ground. I instructed him to raise his foot to 6 inches. Smith raised his foot to 6 inches and then immediately brought his foot back down to 1 inch. Smith used his arms for balance with arms out approximately 3 feet from his side. Smith had an approximate 3 to 4 inch sway while performing the test. Portable breath test. Approximately 2150 hours, I asked Smith to provide a sample of his breath to my portable breath tester, and it showed 0.000 BAC. At 2151 hours, Officer Engel placed Smith under arrest for DUI based on his observed driving behavior, his slowed speech, his inability to maintain his balance, six clues HGN, and poor performance on field sobriety test. Smith continued to lose his balance as Officer Engel handcuffed him behind his back with 2 sets of handcuffs. Officer Engel double locked and fit tested the handcuffs. Officer Engel placed Smith in the back of his patrol vehicle. Smith asked if his girl could come pick up the car. Thunder Engel asked Smith where she was and he said here in Phoenix. The officer was placed. The offender was pulled over in a Tucson area. Smith continued to speak, but it was incomprehensible. Officer Ingram transported Smith to the Pima County Jail, where he was booked for aggravated DUI. At 23:11 hours, Officer Ingram heard his trooper Rodriguez, number 10495, draw two gray top vials of blood from Smith. Trooper Rodriguez conducted a drug recognition evaluation on Smith. As of June 5th, 2018, the results are not available.
Talking with Mr. Smith, I am going to find that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, and that he did violate the terms and, of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Before you move.
That motion was by myself. I believe it was second, Mr. Quinones?
Yes, sir.
Agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Dr. Wright. And agree, Mr. Neal. Okay, so we're going to go on to phase two of your hearing. During phase two of your hearing, Mr. Smith, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start off phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. And then I'm going to come back to you, sir, and see if there's anything that you'd like to present to the board to reference this.
On October 16, 2017, Mr. Smith was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 16, 2018 by DPS on a felony charge of aggravated DUI and license suspended. He was back in DOC custody on May 16, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of April 15, 2020, 0 scan days. Current conviction, 2005, narcotic drug violation, 2 counts, count 1, 14 years, count 2, 15 years, 9 months. Prior convictions, 1991, theft, 1.5 years, 1995, marijuana violation, 2.5 years, 1999, misconduct involving weapons, 4.5 years, 1999, escape, second degree, 1 year. This is his fourth term in DOC, CUIR score, 2.3. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2002, TIS release of absconder, 2 months, 14 days, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate and lengthy with drugs, threats, violence, and threats to staff noted. Other arrests. 1995, possessed sell marijuana, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1997, kidnapping, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1997, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1997, assault, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 1998, assault, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1998, theft, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1998, theft of means of transportation, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2002, criminal trespass, first degree, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2002, possess sell marijuana, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G3V5. And along with the letter that we did receive from the public defender, I also had an email from the senior parole officer, Haggard, dated June 29th, just stated that DPS was saying that the charges were sent back on May 29th requesting further information, but they had never received the information regarding the samples that were taken for the drugs.
So what day were those charges sent back, sir? Mr. Weston?
The charges were sent back on May 29th, 2018, and the dismissal was June 25th.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Smith, I'm going to go with some information with you. I see that you were released from prison October 16th and 17th. You did your intake October 17th. You originally were to reside at 9430 North 11th Avenue in Phoenix at TLC. Is that, and then looks like on October 24th of 2018, you were changed residence to Roubaix at 2501 West Elm Street. From there, it looks like on November 6th, at 17, you were at V-Way 2719 West Maryland. And then in January, you went to your sister-in-law's house at 1725 West Carey Lane in Phoenix, Diane Abudo. And then it looks like February 28th of 18, you were at 24601 North 29th Avenue at MRC. Then April 4th, you went back to TLC at 9430 North 11th Avenue. And then it looks like on, it was April 4th, and then on April 30th, you were in MRC at 2601 North 29th Avenue. Says that, well, were you working during that period of time, sir?
Yes, sir.
And where are you working at?
I was in a Zoe Steel Company. I was at a Venice Tower Company. I was working at a American Tool System. And I was working at a North King's Tennessee.
Okay, who is the listed enterprise boss?
Mr. Robert Jones, he's in our building boss. He's in a, it's a tower company, it's a tower floor, floor company.
Uh-huh.
He built a tower to the house in the same building. He built the tower, and the people with the tower service said, you know, he was building the tower, and this is gone. We built a tower in the middle, picked it up in the middle.
Okay, I'm
gonna,
yes sir. Okay, I'm gonna go over some information with you, sir, because there's a long list of information that's on here, so I wanna go over that information with you, okay? It looks like on January 23rd of 2018, parole officer Newsom came to your residence and attempted to contact you, said you were reasonably dishonest about your drug use, but your wife and your mother-in-law convinced you to be honest, and you stated that your brother came into town on the weekend and offered you some G. What is G?
It was a reference show that I heard for the first time that my wife was a reference show to me. They were scholarly meetings like that. I tried to go.
Okay, and so is that, is that when you were, had to go to BCRPO?
Black Canyon Regional Parole Office.
Yeah,
okay, so that's when you went to the Black Canyon Regional Parole Office on the 24th. It says you did report as director, and you said that you made a mistake, it wouldn't happen again. And then that's when you were referred to CHC, and your task color was changed to Moss. Then it looks like February 21st, you called and stated that it was not working out at your girlfriend's house, and you wanted to move back to B-Ray. And they spoke to Ryan at B-Ray, and you believe that you were using spice, and since it isn't currently tested, for he was reluctant to have you come back to B-Ray located, to the B-Ray location. So, on February 22nd of 2018, you called and left a message. Then on February 23rd, the parole officer went to your approved residents attempt to contact you and said you're back and forth from Tucson to Phoenix. She had not heard from you in the past 2 days. February 23rd, PO received a compliance and was supposed to report to B-Ray on February 20th and had not reported to PO Houston directed you to produce a UA and report to the Black Canyon Regional Parole Office again on February 27th. I'm just trying to look at these addresses. And on February 27th, you were informed by Terry Torres, federal probation, that Billy was picked up on marijuana and paraphernalia case 180 by Tucson PD on February 28th. You were told to come into the office, stated that you were back using drugs and had been stopped by police for possession of drugs, issued a ticket and released. You were sanctioned to go to MRC for 7 days with referral to MRC program on March 7th. You were admitted to MRC for the 30-day IPH program for treatment. And then it looks like on March 6th of 18, you attended a group with therapists today. You immediately asked relevant questions about the topic being presented and actively participated throughout the group. You anticipated a discharge on April 4th of 2018. So, sir, you had started back to smoking marijuana. You had stopped and cited and released for the marijuana. What happened to that charge? April 30th, April 30th, and then I'm trying to just make sure I have this other date down. On May 15th, he was operating the vehicle. So, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks prior, he was operating a motor vehicle when he wasn't supposed to be operating a motor vehicle on the 30th. The officer stated that he looked like he was intoxicated when he passed all the tests. The same thing happened in May. He looked intoxicated. He did take a breathalyzer, and he passed the breathalyzer. They did draw blood. I don't know what the results of those blood samples were, but he was driving slow and continuing to operate that motor vehicle, which I think based on the information that we have on his condition and the way he was operating the motor vehicle, that he is endangering the community, and it's not in the best interest of the community based on that information that we actually have for him to be out there operating the motor vehicle. According to his own admission, that he has, during the time that he's been out, used heroin, he's used spice, and he has used alcohol during the period of time that he was in. I don't know what the situation is on those DUIs, but as far as him operating the motor vehicle, I think he does present a danger and a threat to the community by operating the motor vehicle, whether it's his physical or medical condition that he actually is having that situation operating out there. And he's done it twice that far, along with his previous use of heroin, spice, and alcohol as well. It looks as though his parole officer has tried to work with him. He's had several places that he's actually stayed. He's been in a total of 6. He's been in a total of 6 different houses that he actually stayed at. He's had a total of 8 different residents. One of them was with his sister-in-law that he actually stayed with, that there's been a problem. Although he does have a tremendous amount of time that he has left, he's not going to be eligible for release until April 15th of 2020. But I just don't, based on this information contained in the warrant and the information contained that we have, although it is a little bit complicated, I just don't see it being in the best interest or the safety of the welfare of the community for Mr. Smith to be released back out on community supervision. Mr. Quinones.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief. I think when you look at the totality of the case, there's definitely some behavior and safety issues. And I'll add, unless I missed something in this long narrative, there's reference to the officer in the stop. It says admin per se implied consent suspension on his driving license. So, I mean, I think there's some holes in this story. We'll be reading the full picture. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Reynolds.
Yeah, and additionally, I point out, after April 26th, when he was staffed, he was directed shortly after that not to drive until further notice, and then on May 15th, he's driving again. That's only 2 or 3 weeks after that, so I think he's not able to follow the directives of his parole officer.
Mr. Miller.
Yes, and as to the dismissal of charges, it comes up all the time where people kind of act like, well, just because it was dismissed, it never happened. But it did happen. There was probable cause for his file, and with the 6 points of AGM, he had something in his system that was not supposed to be there. Whether it be, you know, if you believe the goose eggs on the DAC, or something goes. But he self-admitted he was drunk by that. So we got that violation, driving the car many times. So I don't see it's a good candidate for community supervision.
And I agree with my colleagues. I think that this is a very unfortunate situation that he fell into. And I think that we always have to look out for the welfare of the citizens, and driving under the influence is not looking out for the welfare of the citizens.
Therefore, based on the information contained in the warrant number 2018W1450, information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, as well as conversation with
Mr. Smith, I move to revoke his community supervision, found that it was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses, was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, as he did admit to using heroin, spice, and alcohol. Also, he was driving without the permission of authority with his parole officer. He had been sanctioned once to not drive without further permission, and he, within 3 weeks later, was driving again, and again was stopped by the police department. So that will be my motion at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
So motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed Mr. Quinones, agreed Mr. Neal, agreed Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith, can you hear me? Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on April 15th of 2020. During that time, when you're released, you won't be on any parole or community supervision. However, I don't know if you would still be on any federal probation, because you did have a federal probation officer. So I have no idea what may happen with that particular incident there, sir. I do want to thank you, Mr. Smith, for participating in the hearing at this time. That's going to conclude your hearing again. At this time, that's going to conclude your hearing. Again, you will be released on April 15th of 2020. Thank you, sir.
Please put the 03 back on the phone, sir.